This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the W12 podcast. I'm Ben Platt again. Thanks for tuning in and listening and continuing to listen. We always say that podcasts are always different, but we feel like we're always saying the same thing because the same thing's always happening. And lo and behold, we have a home game at the weekend and script is very similar. But we'll run all through that. Just quickly, there's only three of us on today. I don't know if that's the first time for us. We've only had three people on the pod. I don't know. We had someone drop out late. But we've got the usual. We've got Duncan McCready and Chris Hermitage. How are you, lads?
Hello. Yeah, I'm good, mate. You all right?
as good as we can be, considering how results are going. But yeah, happy to be on chat with you boys as ever.
So there's only three of us, right? So that means that we're all going to have to talk a little bit more. Dunk, are you okay with that, mate? Because
I got so on the hype train with Marty and the first few set of results when he won three on the bounce, and I was like, oh, Mr. Positive and talking too much. And now it's just kind of gone the other way, where everything's a bit negative again, and I'm just a little bit like, I don't want to say a lot.
Why don't you want to say a lot? Is it because you're scared that you're going to say too much?
Yeah, I don't want to go off on a rant already. I felt like every single week with Ainsworth, I was ranting and moaning. And I feel like I want to try and not moan all the time. But at the minute, I've got to moan. I want to moan about Armstrong, as hard as it is, because he was so hit and miss against Watford that it's just, yeah. But we'll get on to Watford in a second.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I'll come back to the set there. We'll crack on with Watford. Frustrating that I thought we actually played really pretty well. I mean, I think Watford didn't do a lot, and I thought we were the better side, and I thought we had more of the ball, created more, better at set pieces, defending. But it's just still not enough, and that's the big worry, is that when you're playing well and you're not winning, that's a worry, especially at home as well. It's a bit like when someone at the top of the league are not playing well and they still win. It's kind of the opposite, isn't it? When you're at the bottom of the table and the gaps got bigger, and the importance of these next two home games, it ramps up again, doesn't it? You know, we were looking forward to these five home games and we've lost the three of them already, which is slightly frustrating. But Doug, do you want to, kick us off on Watford and Armstrong and what your views were?
I don't think we're going to play Watford again and then be as poor as they were for large spells of the game. Armstrong, I thought, was running them ragged, but he was in the right places. He was doing the right runs. He was causing them issues, but he's got to have scored one of those two chances he had in the second half. He did it against Bournemouth. Almost these ones against Watford were more central. It should have been easier and more of a goal to aim at. It's just so frustrating that he hasn't taken one of them. The first one, it was just good. I suppose a good save, robbed the defender. But the second one, it's such a shocking heavy touch. Like, and it's just so frustrating that either one of those, and that's us 1-0 up, and it's a completely different game. We're not chasing it. We're not having to push on. We've got something to defend, something to hold on to. Watford push on, and then we can try and get another goal on a counter attack, and it would have completely changed the game. And then what happens? Jake Livermore swings his right foot 30 yards out from goal and curls the most perfectly curled shot into the far post. Like, Begovic had no chance. It was just like Jake Livermore did that shot another 10 times with his right foot, and every single one would be rosehead. Like,
Do you
it's
think he
just
had no
so
chance,
frustrating.
Begovic? Do you think he had no chance with any of those goals? I don't
Well,
know why I
the
went.
first one, I think it's you can see it's really curled right into the corner. Like, I don't think, as much as it wasn't hit with pace, it was like positionally it was perfect. It was right in on the side net, wasn't it? Like, I don't think he's got
Yeah,
much
but
chance of that.
if you look at it though, he's left like more than half the goal free there anyway. I appreciate that it's gone right round and curled in, but if you're a midfielder and you
Yeah,
see
but
that gap, you're encouraged to shoot more. I appreciate it's a good strike, but I just think when you look at it from, I don't know,
obviously,
I
what
could
it's
be being
right-footed,
harsh.
wasn't it? It was his weak foot, so maybe Begovic is expecting him to try and cut it back on his left and go the opposite corner. I don't know. Like, but the second one, I think you don't think you can blame Begovic for the second goal. Is the ball's come through bodies, like Colback's gone to shut it down, and like he's gone straight through his legs. There's other defenders and attackers in between Livermore and the goal. I don't think Begovic can be completely at fault for that. He's seen it late, but like why was no one anywhere near him on the edge of the box? Why has he got enough time to take a touch and hit it both times? Like, that's the bigger problem. Just, I don't know. I felt like Colback, it's just, I don't know what he offers us. I really don't see what he gives us. I don't see enough from him against Watford to justify why he's in the starting lineup again. It's so frustrating at the minute watching so many of the players we've got with experience not doing a lot for us. I don't know what you guys feel about that, like the whole callback situation, but for me, I just feel like he's a waste of time and money.
Think the coming back to the goal, the second one, we had four men run out to it. Colback's the closest, and yet it still went through everybody. Like, I'm not saying our players should be running out and like diving in, because no doubt we'll do that next time. Player moves the ball and we take someone out when you don't need to, but it's just one of those. You look back in reflection, and you're like, if you'd gone down on the floor, you block that, it doesn't go through. And because that felt like that killed us, to be honest. Like you said at the start, thought we played really well. We created a lot more than we have done in ages. Yeah, had the chance the first half. I mean, pretty appalling watch if you're a neutral or if you're a Watford fan. They created absolutely nothing, but they hit the bar from a free kick, albeit offside. But again, that made me panic about set pieces. But again, after that, it was just like, no, we're doing pretty well here. But like I said, we said this multiple times on multiple pods, we have to score first. Because if we don't, we're like, okay, well, we don't have enough faith that we're going to do anything here. Yeah, the Armstrong stuff he's done. I mean, it would have been so anti QPR to actually score within the first 10 seconds of the second half. That would have been absolutely perfect. Like, harassing a defender, gets in. If he finishes that, I think he then finishes the second one. And I feel we're semi comfortable because, yeah, we were looking good. But then, even at 1-0, Colback misses a good chance. Yeah, that's his wrong foot, but he's a professional footballer. The ball's flicked on by Field from a long throw. He swung a leg and it's gone the other side of the post. So I think the main word I had after Sunday was just frustrating. I'm all frustrated because we played well. If we play that game, that exact game, 10 times, I think we win six or seven of them. But the position that we're in, it was one of the ones that we didn't. And just looking at the home league table, we're bottom of it. We've got 9 points. The next worst home form in the league is Millwall on 15 points. So we're 6 points off that. We're the second lowest scorers at home. This is an interesting stat. We've conceded 21 home league goals. So have Ipswich. But Ipswich are second in the home league table. Obviously, that's completely different and just shows you if you score loads of goals, it doesn't really matter how many you concede. But like, that is just so depressing. And yeah, we'll come on to the weekend about how desperate these next two games are. But I want to take the positives from Sunday because I feel there were a lot of them. But if you don't get points, there's only so long that you can take these positives for and how long they last.
I thought St. Clair Armstrong was so frustrating he couldn't finish it. You know, you can't be 1-1 twice with, you know, and not score. Not QPR anyway. Like, we won't, you know, you never get... He's lucky to get two, never mind one. You know, so he's got to take it. But I thought, again, he's just got to keep... Like, so, if I'm Martin now, I'm looking at this going, I just got to play him every week now. Like, it doesn't matter. He's just got to play him, right? If no one's coming in, which doesn't look like it, even if they are, I don't know how old they're going to be. I don't know whether they're going to be starters. Feels like, we'll get onto it in a minute, but it feels like we might bring in a youth player in on loan or something with a bit of talent. Maybe, I don't know. Or someone really experienced and old. And I think we're going to go one way. So I'll just play him every week. Because that centre-back for them, he was at sixes and sevens again with him. Didn't know, he's experienced championship centre-back, right? Every time he got it, he was panicking, right? But where is he, right? So, and I think the goals will come with him. I think that he's behind his development, which is frustrating, but that's down to the club and how we've managed his development. And he should have been out, we've said it loads of times, we won't go through it again, but he should have been out on loan, you know, like the year Mickey Beale was in. He should have been out on loan then. We had enough cover. And we'd be getting a better Sinclair Armstrong now. So he's still developing. He's later than he would. But I just feel, just play him every week now. He's going to cause problems. It puts less pressure on Dykes as well when that happens. It's frustrating that he couldn't finish them. A couple of bad touches here and there, which is frustrating. The other person who really frustrated me, well, two people that were frustrating me, was actually, if Sinclair Armstrong wasn't as dangerous as he was and creating, I don't think we would have created a lot else, right? So, and that's a worry. So, you know, what I mean by that is Chris Willock, again, anonymous pretty much. I actually thought he was at fault for the first goal. If you look at it, the ball bounces and it's a 50-50 and he is a half-assed attempt to try and win it, easily blocked off by the... I just thought it was too easy. And then he goes and crosses it, falls to Liverpool. I mean, a few bits happen after them, but I thought that was a bit frustrating and he just doesn't do enough. He didn't do enough going forward. And Ilias Chair again, bits and bobs in the first half, looks, and then second half just went missing again a little bit, which is just frustrating because we relied on these players to do something every game. And I just don't know what's going on with Willock, whether his heart's in it, whether he wants it. He's just, someone might make a move for him. I don't know who, but someone, you know, look at the Zell news today and I think someone's out there might make a move for him. And I just wonder whether he's got that at the back of his mind. And he just, I don't know, he's starting to look like the old Willock again, not the old Willock, because that was a decent Willock, but the I don't know what to call that. What'd you call that? I don't know.
Medium term,
yeah, I don't know.
I mean, at least he did the chance that the second Armstrong chance that we created was because Willock made a great run, Begovic amazing throw, and Willock again at full pelt sprint. I thought initially he played the ball too early and it was an awkward ball for Armstrong, but
yeah, I thought that
he got it to him again. We get the bit of luck and let's not go over that chance again, but yeah, the only whatever front four we play have to gel together. And at the moment, it doesn't, like, you maybe have two of them gel together and then the other two not quite as much. But there needs to be more in terms of how they play together. I think I definitely agree with you. I think Armstrong has to play every game. He stretches defence. It gives so much more space in between the defence and midfield that your likes of Chair, Willock, and if Dixon Bonner's playing, they want the space and they need that space to do better. There was a point in the first half where, like, we won the ball in their half and Dykes is the one travelling with the ball. You know, it's like, please give this as quick as you possibly can. Kind of stumbles on his feet and falls over and you're like, oh God, that just kind of sums up a lot of his time.
Dykes in that number 10 position, mate, is better. I think he impacts the game more. He impacts the game more than he does. I think when he's up there on top, I don't know, it's like a trampoline off him sometimes. But I feel like for some whatever reason, that number 10, when it's, he finds a bit more space because he's a bit freer. I don't know. I've noticed that. I don't mind him that number 10 role
again, it works.
He's not the answer.
No, but
I think those two
that way round works better than Dykes up top and like an Armstrong wide or an Armstrong in a 10.
I've seen a lot of people say Armstrong's a winger. I think he's far from a winger. I don't know. He hasn't been really played there, but I'm not too sure. Yeah, I don't agree with that. But I saw a lot of people saying it.
Well, I get the point where like they think that he can cut in from the left-hand channel, don't they? I think like they think he can exploit spaces there and then cut in like he did for the goal against Bournemouth. Like, but against a rapid fullback, he's not going to have as much joy as he does when he's pulling off a centre-back into that channel.
When you're in those left and right, you're not always behind, are you, right? So you're running in front of defenders. And I don't think he's as good at that. Like, you know, he's very much in behind space, knock it and just run and cause problems. Like when he's got a little touches, he gets a bit of himself sometimes. I've noticed that as well. I think we called that out last week. He just needs a bit of composure sometimes, doesn't he?
The problem we have as well, though, is that when like he does, like Armstrong does that, or like when Smith was doing it when he came on, that Dykes is too far back in that number 10 role. He hasn't got the engine to keep up with him to then be in the box making that number 10 last man run to try and get on the end of anything. Like, there was that Smith chance
where he put
a good ball in the box, but there was nobody there because no one can keep up with him.
I've said it in previous pods. I think that we need a box-to-box midfielder as much as we need a striker, and we do really need a striker. And I've got a funny feeling that that's why we've let Dizel go, is we're going to bring a different type of midfielder in. I don't know who that is, but I've got a feeling that someone else is coming in that's going to give us maybe a bit more going forward in that central role.
Yeah, I think it's either... Because you said that last week when you not entirely suggesting Luke Amos, but someone like him. Because he had the ability to...
I did get a DM on that. By the way, you know, we were talking about DMs and we normally get positive DMs. Anyone listening, don't make that start, anything else than that. But someone did message and said, Luke Amos, big capital letters. Are you mad?
to give you credit, you said you wouldn't have minded him compared to Dizel. That's just that, you once players leave, we remember the good things. It's the same like if a player's on the bench for 3 weeks, we don't forget all the stuff we were moaning about 3 weeks ago. But no, it's a player like that, or it's someone who controls the game from central midfield. Because I think that's what we need more. That's what the Fuentes wants. Someone who will get on the ball all the time, make stuff. Ultimately, we want a Barry Bannon. That would be kind of player would be perfect system. Because he dictates everything. But those don't grow on trees. So we're not going to get one unless there's magically someone from Scandinavia who's available on the free that can come in. But we kind of need to, we'll come on to the CEO and his comments, but that isn't going to happen. I honestly didn't think we'd sign anybody this window. Now Dizel moving on loan creates that little bit of room you need to maybe get someone on loan who's on lower or the same wages. But you need someone from a club where, like a Prem club, who are willing to ultimately send someone out for free rather than pay a loan fee.
What did you do when you read that Dizel was going to Birmingham? I had to double check my phone twice. I thought it was a different John Percy. I thought it was like a fake account. A QPR fan had made a fake account.
I feel like someone was doing what Up the Arse did and was playing a little joke on everybody with like the toilet toilet thing.
Like, yeah, I fell just, for that.
It's just mad. Like Birmingham's like scouting and recruitment department have obviously watched one game of us last year where Roberts, Laird and Dizel all had a blinder. And for some reason, they think they're amazing signings. Like,
I don't think that happened. But
I know that's what, it's one of those. I just think, why are they after Dizel? I just don't see what he offers that any club would want. Like, but my worry is with letting him go is we've got Field and Colback who are walking disasters in terms of discipline. Field's one booking off a suspension, Colback's two, and you can guarantee they're both going to get booked against Millwall if they both start. And like, it just worries me then, are we going to be leaving ourselves short in that kind of area? Because if Dizel goes, we've only got what, Dixon Bonner?
We put the feelers out.
Someone else is coming in, aren't they,
today,
surely?
Because we didn't think that, we didn't figure if it was going to happen. We were told nothing was going to happen. We've got a few people who, we're not in the know or anything like that, and take it with a pinch of salt. But we've got a few people that are in and around the club, and the noise coming out is that Dizel, Birmingham have been interested in him for a while. So I don't know how or why or what games they're watching, but apparently that's true. That one's been on the cards for a while, I think. But I think Charlie Kelman's one as well, who might be looking to move on. Again, I don't know what's happened to him. I don't know what's happened to him, whether it's attitude thing or whether he's fallen out with Marty or whether he's just fallen out with the club, but he's not in and around, is he? And things have happened. So I think he's looking to move on. There's rumours that the Richards is as well, but I don't know who's going to take him. I mean, I would seriously question any recruitment of if we manage to offload him to anyone. But also the feelers are that we are looking to bring in a couple of players, but again, no names or anything, but there could be some movement. But again, you would have thought that there'd be someone close, I would have thought, but I don't know. If you, like I said, you're leaving us really short, aren't you?
Yeah. Surely though, that if they're letting him go, it must mean like Chris was saying, there's wages available. They must have somebody kind of that iron up that's either going to be, like you said, a box-to-box midfielder, give us that option. Or, I don't know, like if the Kelman's going, that's another chunk of wages, although probably not like a lot, but it still helps. Richards, if we can somehow offload him, like, again, that's frees up space. So, like, it looks like they're trying to get something done. We all said there was going to be no business, but it looks like they're trying to get somebody in for Marty that he will fit his system. But like, it'd be like literally throwing a needle in a haystack to guess who it would be.
He's on fairly good wages to sell, isn't he? I think that's common knowledge. Right. I think he's on a healthy wage. You know, if it's 10,000-12,000 he's on, you're saving yourself, what, 200k by loaning them out? You're not having to pay his wages. So that's...
As long as it's covered in for 100%, yeah. You'd like to think there is very little advantage for us in sending him on loan and having a club not pay 100% of his wages.
Yeah. I mean,
because
almost
how desperate, let's say he is on 12, if Birmingham saying, we'll pay 50% and we agree to that, that really shows how desperate we are to just free up $6,000 a week.
How much he isn't rated with my Marty as well, because let him go, considering the situation we're in, even if it's until we can bring someone in, which I suspect, knowing our recruitment, isn't a given, so you're right, mate. Kelman was a bit of a funny one because he's best finisher at the club, right? We say that every year.
I'm sure someone in the podcast circle was saying like he's going to get goals before the end of the season. He's going to like get a lot of minutes.
Yeah, it's weird how Jack said that and then he hasn't played on many pods since.
Yeah, he's always on.
Claim goals. I said he might start more games than we expect ahead of Dykes. But yeah, that was after. Yeah, seeing the 10-minute positive cameo against Rotherham, but then it's gone back to normality. But if people aren't part of the squad and they're not they don't look as if they're going to be involved. That's the business they're in, right? Move them on, free up some wage, try to get something done. Because that's the only way it's going to happen. We can't magic money and movement from FFP out of nowhere.
Yeah, he's frustrating. Because there's kind of something there, isn't there? Like, a lot of watch him and think, like, it could be a fox in the box. But has he even scored a goal for QPR? An actual competitive goal?
Not one I can remember.
So I can't...
Yeah, three of us can't remember. Enough. It's not a good sign, is it?
So, any other observations from Watford before we move on? Yeah, I thought Colback was pretty poor, actually. He's been out for a while. So I've been asked to do 70 minutes, so, you know, I get it. But I've not been hugely impressed with him anyway, even before his injury. You know, he promised so much with those two goals, didn't he, at the start? I'm not really too sure what type of player he is. I know we've said this before as well, haven't we? Like, he's not really he isn't very good. I always, like we've said, I thought he was a bit of a terrier, get stuck in and win tackles, and he's not like that. He's not a bad passer.
Making more fouls than tackles.
He's a bit of a snidey player, isn't he? But do you know what I mean? I've not seen him make a crunch, like a really good tackle like last week. And was he on a 2-year deal as well? So if we go down.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Was that two with an option? Was that one with an option?
So Field and Armstrong have got options, haven't they? Definitely.
Yeah.
I looked at when they signed the contract, they're late, or when they signed, and it said the club have got an option. So that was, I think, we on the last pod we said we weren't sure. But was there any other observations from Watford who lads pulled out?
I was going to say, yeah, I put down on my notes, Smith did more than Chair and Willock in the 30 minutes he was on the pitch. Because I felt like he was more of an attacking threat. Gives us that, like we said so many times this season, like his pace is an asset and it does worry defenders and it stretches the game. But again, like, he's got the assist for Dykes' goal, but I mean, it was a massively deflected cross. Like, would his cross have got to anybody if it hadn't had that deflection? Who knows?
Oh, come on. They'd be horrible. Like, he's, you know, you can't moan at him for not doing a delivery. He does a delivery. Did you say he's a deflection?
It's the biggest deflection ever.
Yeah.
But going back to the Kelman bit, no, he hasn't scored for us. I just looked it up.
Right. Just get rid. And this is what this club needs, mate. Just a full get rid. Like, I'm not even remotely bothered about Dizel. I know that's really harsh and might be a bit harsh. People might think not, but... I've watched him a few games playing hide and seek in the middle of the pitch. Like, as long as we can bring another body in, I don't know if it could get much worse. I don't know what he offers. He scored two. I mean, the tweet that Jack put out about him getting more red cards than goals, you know, he's not got many more assists. I know he lives off that assist that he did for Andre Gray, but.
What's the telling that he's going to go to Birmingham and have an absolute blinding 6 months and, like, be unbelievable for them? It's just like the QPR way, isn't it? Like, someone's average for us, and they move on and they suddenly become amazing.
I don't know how many players have left us and have done that, though. I think that's the mentality that we have. Like,
yeah, it's not true, is it?
Bradley hasn't even picked up a club. Ethan Laird, constantly injured at Birmingham. Tyler Roberts, not that anyone particularly wanted him. Another one who's just crocked all season.
It just feels like Arsenal's going to happen,
doesn't
really it?
Good. I watched him the other day. I watched Rob Dickey the other day for Bristol City, and he was really good. But we've known that there's a good player in there, and we just ruined him, didn't we? And he could just, there was no return for him. It was, even if we kept him this season, he just needed to move on, didn't he? Like, he just had to. He could have quite easily gone either way. But he looked really good. Bristol City fans love him.
Just imagine what Marty could do with Rob Dickey, a ball-playing centre-back. I'd be like, he'd be the first name on the team sheet under Marty, wouldn't he?
That, to be fair, that was a point from Watford. It did seem like Dunn and Clark Sauter were coming forward with the ball a lot more in that game than any game. And that, there's an element to which that is dictated by how much you're pressured as a centre-back and the space that is there, etc. But you could put everything together and go, yeah, but if Armstrong's playing up top, he's dragging the defence further back, so there's more space. And then if you're not pushed high to go into, there were the positive elements of that, albeit I think the first time Dunn did it in maybe the first 10 minutes, he felt like he almost beat three men. People were so shocked he'd got that far. Then, I mean, the ball he played wasn't great, but it was the right ball to play. And no, I can't remember who it was, whether it was Willock or Armstrong. It was someone on the right. But they were just sort of standing there, and then they were like, oh, so I didn't expect that. And it's like, well, that's what we need. We need people to, again, just be on it.
So I thought Jimmy Dunn, to be fair, had probably one of his better games that he's had in recent weeks or months.
Yeah, so unlucky like, at the end.
Like yeah, but he actually, I mean, defensively, he looked solid. Like, we've been very critical of how he's looked sloppy recently, but I thought he looked quite solid at the back. Yeah. I did also make a note about, I thought that Jake Clark-Salter was sloppy with his passing out from the back. Thought there's a few times where he just, like the callback yellow card, that came from a Clark sort of sloppy pass. Yeah. Like, I felt like it's a lot of our players just play these kind of useless passes that get each other into trouble. Like, we had a corner, Chair had an awful corner, shock. And then Kenny Powell gets a yellow card because Watford counter-attack. Like, it's all from our own simple mistakes of not being able to, like, cross a bloody corner. Like, that's something I wanted to raise. Kenneth Powell and Ilias Chair can no longer be on any form of set pieces at all, ever. Take them off, because they cannot put one decent ball into the box, ever. I've not seen one of them put a decent ball into the box. And it's so frustrating. I'd rather have Begovic putting on a cross in.
Who are we left with set pieces? Because there was a point earlier in the season where we were like,
Dazelle was
Huddersfield away, and Dazelle put that ball in for Clark Sort, and we were like, oh, thank God Dazelle's on corners. If he's not there, you're really running out of people in the team who can who might be giving them.
Reggie Cannon, let's give it to him, see what he can do.
You just picked him randomly, haven't you, mate? If not even. I'll tell you what we do need to do though. We need to get Cook back in ASAP. I don't know what's going on with him again. Was he fit? Was he not fit? Like, did he just pick? He can't have wanted to. He didn't pick Dunn over him, did he? Or I don't know.
I felt maybe Cook was just fit enough for the bench.
Yeah, and just in case needed.
Yeah, but like we said, when he's fully fit, he has to play. He's straight back in. So Saturday, I want to see him straight back in the team.
So a new CEO, Christian Norrie, I think. 26 years old, not that that's an issue. But Lee Hughes into retirement, but not in retirement because he's still the chairman. What do you lads think about that?
Like we said, like, he comes from the analytical background, which is the way football seems to be going now. It's all been driven by numbers. So he's got that background. It's worked for other clubs. Is it now that's going to be our ethos? That's going to be the way the club's going to be run? Only time will tell if it's worked. Like, he's only been in the job what, a week. There's not much we can say about it. Like, I think that the fact that he said he's 26, but with 11 years experience was a bit odd. I mean, when you start at 15? I feel like sometimes people come into us and they just kind of feed us a line like a load of bollocks. And it's just be honest. We're not stupid. Like, we're fickle. like, you get us one good player this window and we'll all be like saying you're the best CEO ever. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's all we wanted. You don't have to make up some nonsense that you've been in the job since, like, you were in nappies. Just be honest with us. Let us know what's going on with the club. Let us know how bad things are so we can lower our expectations. Come out and say, literally, we can't spend a penny because of FFP. Okay, fans will go, right, it's fine. You've made it perfectly clear there's nothing to spend. That's all I want from a CEO. I just want someone to be transparent and open with us.
Yeah, and I think it was very important he did say that in his first interview. He was abundantly clear. He was like, look, the mistakes of, or I think he said the decisions in the last 3 years rather than mistakes have meant we can't do anything this window. Now you think, okay, well, there's been a little bit of player movement. Maybe something can happen. But yeah, he's setting his stall out. He's not going, right, my company have already identified 5 targets who are golden stars and I can get them all for free. Like, yeah, like you said, don't feed us rubbish. If his company were obviously assessing QPR top to bottom since the summer, taking a positive angle, there's a reason he's decided to leave that company and to now become the CEO of the club he was analysing for 6 months. So is it something
he knows the club wastes money on people in positions?
I didn't know he showed your ways up.
Various companies do that stuff, yeah.
I had a bit of think about this the last few days. And I this is probably not going to go down quite well, but I just think that we just need to be careful with the board that we've got. I'm not one for the like the clown pictures and the giving them stick at games and when you see them in the street and stuff like that. I think that we just need to be careful because, yes, they've made a lot of mistakes that they need to be accountable for, and I'm certainly not praising them in any way. We've had the Premier League years. There's so many terrible decisions. But I do think the best intentions are there, agreed. Sometimes the biggest mistakes are made from the best intentions. But I just look at some of the clubs in and around football at the moment, and I just think that, if they can find someone to sell it to, right, at a good price, and everyone's happy, fine. You know, they do their due diligence. But I just think the more that we stick we give them and the more abuse they get, so they might just pack it in and sell it to any Tom, Dick and Harry, and that's where we could be in trouble. And I just think that we just need... there's nothing that, you know, from a decision perspective, they've made some awful decisions, awful, continually, you know. I could name 4 or 5 off the bat now, like, you know, Chris Ramsey could have gone in the summer. Why is he going mid-season? Why isn't Les Ferdinand going 2 weeks before the season starts? Like, these are decisions. Someone needs to lead and take decisions like that. You know, who bought Macaulay Bonn? You know, I think that when I think back to a really pivotal decision to why we're in the mess we are now, I think back to that Warburton season when I think Clive alluded to it last time he was on the pod, but when we had offers for them in the summer. We decided to not sell and give it a go, right? We got to a really good position in January. And in that January, we had an offer from Chris Willett, which we know. And we decided not to sell, but do nothing else and bring in Jeff Hendrick at the end of the window. I just think that was a really, really poor decision. I know it's hindsight stuff, but, you know, we should have either sold him and brought in 2 or 3 other players, kept a little bit, or we should have backed him, Warburton, and brought in and maybe pushed the boat out even more, and then sold him, and then in the summer done something. And I just think now we're paying the price for that because we can't sell either of them or anyone. And people have declined. Dickie's declined since then. You know, there's a few that have done the same. Johansson and Austin just went off a ball, didn't they? They looked really good and went off. Anyway, that's my take on the board. I just think that they need to be accountable, obviously, but they've done this big audit, which is the right thing to do, right? It's just now what they do next. And actually, if we did go down, which looking likely at the moment, let's see what they'll do next season, because they'll be able to spend next season. right? With the FFP the way it is, and it's to do with wages and stuff like that. So, I don't know what you boys think. Am I being too nice?
I think you've hit the nail on the head for me. Like, I look at so many other football clubs. I mean, Reading are the absolute prime example this week, right? Like, people, they get a new owner. I think there was a season where they spent 8 million on Lucas Joao, and I think it was like 6 million on a, I can't remember where the striker was actually from. Like,
Puskas.
That was it. Yeah, good memory. And people were like, oh, they're doing really well. They're spending all this money. They're going to do great. That was the start of their absolute downfall. Now look at them. Like, yes, we, like you said, owners have made mistakes, but they are not the owners of a Reading, of these clubs that fans are then absolutely desperate just to get the owner out of their club. They're willing to take multiple relegations so they can get their club back. So the constant, like, oh, our owners need to spend, commitment, all of this. The fact they put the money in shows that they are committed. I would be so scared if they sold, purely because you have no idea anymore about what kind of people are going to come in and buy your club. Look at the guy who was trying to buy Derby, that American guy, saying he made all his money in crypto. He was at all the games. Turns out he'd been committing fraud for 2 years. Like, that is the potential that you could get in at your club, because you can't trust the EFL's fit and proper test for owners, because that's been proved time and time and time again to be absolute bollocks. So people might not want to hear it, but we are far better off with the owners that we do have than bringing somebody else in.
Antonio Fernandez is an absolute loon. Like, I've got no sympathy for him whatsoever. You only hear me back at, you know, he made a lot of the terrible decisions. So, you know, I get that, but which I agree with. I think that it's not, and some of the decisions that we make, all the decisions we talk about, weren't made from them. It's just the people that they've employed to make the decisions, and they're not rectifying that quick enough.
Exactly, but that just shows naivety on their part. I think I agree partly with what you're saying, but I do think, like, they've made all the decisions. Like, the reason they're paying 2 million a month is because they made really bad decisions. Like, there's no be all and end all. Like, Tony Fernandez got absolutely done over by people like Mark Hughes and Harry Redknapp's letting all these agents come into the club and give us people like Jose Basingua on 120k a week, whatever he was on, signing Rob Green, and then a week later signing Julio Cesar. Like, why did we need two world-class goalies, both on ridiculous money? Like, these decisions were made by the board and the owner. Like, they had conversations, and they were naive enough to believe people like Mark Hughes and Harry Redknapp about, oh yeah, these are the best players, but they'll keep us up, blah blah blah, whatever. Like, that is on them. I agree, like, they're learning from their mistakes, but sometimes you learn too late, and I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah, and this Christian Norrie feels like a last chance saloon, really, for everyone, for them, for me anyway. Not whether they deserve it, because they don't necessarily, but I just think at the moment, the position we're in, it's the better the devil you know, isn't it, I think.
But we said earlier in the season that it's the board need to put better decision makers into place.
Yeah, and that's it.
So hopefully this is it, because obviously when they originally brought Hughes in, like you said, people felt he had a good background in terms of finances and sort of knew what to do from that role. I mean, maybe it worked initially, and ultimately I think he just lost it in that winter that you talked about, Ben, where he went against what his principles were, i.e. selling when the offers were high and not giving in to what fans might think or manager pushback. It was, what is the best business decision? And he didn't do it at that point. And that's when we got into the next kind of three rounds of rubbish. But fingers crossed, new guy knows what he's doing and can turn us around. But the amount of times to sort of mention the QPR game plan as a club in that chat just kind of kind of made me laugh. I think it's an element of what of the way football is going, right? That every club wants to have an identity that runs throughout the youth all the way to the top. But there is an aspect to which I kind of feel every club is just trying to copy what an Ajax or a Barcelona have had for years. And that's incredibly difficult to do. And those clubs have kind of had it for 30, 40 plus years. Like, you kind of don't want every club to be the same, right? Like, you want football clubs to be different. If everybody's just trying to follow that same model.
That reflects onto every element of it, doesn't it? Because that's even down to like how, if you're not playing like ticky-tacky football, you're not playing pure football anymore. Like, unless you're trying to play how Man City play, you're not playing nice football. Like, I'm sorry, but like teams like us, we can't play that kind of football against the Leicesters of our league because we have to be solid, we have to be hard to break down, and we have to play a dirty style of football to win a game. We like that is just like we have to play on the counter attack. We can't play possession based. We're going to string 500 passes together in each half of the game. It's just not going to happen. So it annoys me when like people say, "Oh, football purists are you have to play all this kind of nice football." No, you play however you can play to your strengths to win, and it's the same as with any kind of academy approach or anything like that. Club approach. We are in a team in London. Like, there's so many clubs in London with academies better than ours. With like, it's hard to get all those youngsters to come through as that model. So is that the right model? Maybe not. Maybe we need to look at, say, buying in players at 18, 19, 20 from abroad for cheap and doing what other clubs have done previously and make them better and then sell them for profit. Is that going to be the best way to do it? Who knows?
Yeah. And my dad, when I talk to him, Doug, you know, he gets, do you know what he says about the board that annoys him the most? It's not the decisions that they make as such. It's more the fan pleasing. He hates it, which is the opposite to him, which is really weird because obviously when you make a fan-pleasing decision, you're supposed to please them. But he's like, all we ever do is like, Ainsworth was a fan-pleaser, bringing back Austin and you know, and you had all fan, like, a lot of decisions happen to please fans. And whilst obviously to a degree that is important, but not fun to run the club fundamentally by that. I just think that can backfire quite quickly because things that are fan-pleasing soon aren't quite quickly. Anyway, just quickly, I want to just quickly talk about Millwall before we end. What we said?
I can't remember what a bigger game was than this in what feels like a long time. In especially a home game.
Well, these two home games are as big as game of I think as we've had for a long time.
Yeah, 100%.
Really. I think if we lose both, it's curtains, isn't it?
Yeah. In our position, these are home games against teams that are. Before we played Southampton, so the game before Millwall, they were 2 points above us. Now, I think they're 13. 12 points above us. Sorry, 11 points behind them. So they've gained 9 points since the 23rd of December on us. Like, so they're not that close, but these teams that are close to us at home, we have to beat them. Draws aren't good enough because we're not catching up with them then. Yeah, I mean, I don't have faith that we're going to win, but we absolutely have to win.
Doug, any changes you'd make? Team,
well, if Cook's fit, bring him straight in. It's an obvious one. If for me, I feel that maybe it's someone like Ilias needs to be dropped again. When he was dropped last time, he came on half time and produced an absolutely like magnificent second half performance. Maybe that's what he needs again, a little bit of a rocket up his ass. I feel like Smith gives us such a threat, so I'd bring Smith back in. But then I'd quite easily say after Willock's 90 minutes against Watford, like, he was awful. So he's quite happy to let both of them go off. But you've only got one person to come in for him, which is the frustrating part. But I'd like to see us go with the same kind of formation. I felt like we got at, we that's the only way we're going to win, isn't it? We have to go at these teams. So we've got to play in Dykes in that role. But I want to see him try and be a bit closer to Sinks, give him that support, give him options for passes. The amount of times I saw him kind of in the right back role, like where he's just dropped so deep against Watford, it's just he's then busting a gut 60 yards, and that's not Dykes' game. He hasn't got a 60-yard sprint in him. So we just need to try and keep them two closer together up the pitch without Dykes dropping too deep. Otherwise, I don't think we've got any chance.
We need Chair to turn up, don't we? I always feel like when he turns up and plays better, we've got a much better chance of winning. Any predictions then? What do you think, Dan?
I genuinely don't see us getting a result. I think we're going to lose 1-0.
Chris?
I don't like the fact that Millwall managed to sign Tanganga on loan today.
No.
Ahead of that, I mean, that's a... They would not...
That's an unbelievable signing.
Yeah, make that loan signing 2 years ago. And, I mean, I think everybody who watched him, he had one incredible game against Liverpool, which I'm sure a lot of Spurs fans think back and they're like, oh, but remember that one game. He hasn't done a lot since, but I just picture and I'm like, if he starts at centre-back, that's not the centre-back I want Armstrong up against. Like, I want Armstrong up against Jake Cooper, trying to run him into channels. I don't know. Hopefully he doesn't start, but...
I spoke to a Spurs mate. He said he's not very good. He's not a great centre-back. He's an okay right-back. I mean, obviously that's levels, isn't it? You know, but... Yeah. Interesting that no one else has gone in for him higher up in the Championship.
And that's a good point. Anyway, there's a reason he's gone to Millwall outside of anybody in the top half. I mean, I'll be slightly... I'll say we'll get a draw, but it's not a
draw.
It has to be a win.
Yeah. My big concern is the fact that Huddersfield have got quite an easy, like a winnable game for them against bloody Blackburn. And if we lose to Millwall and they beat Blackburn, we're going into that game against them 8 points behind them.
That's ridiculous. And that
terrifies me, because if we're 8 points behind them going into that game and we don't get the result in that game, we're gone.
Yeah.
And that is the big worry.
Yeah, I think it'll be a draw. It'll be all on the Huddersfield game then, get a result and but all right, lads. Well, thanks for joining me. Let's hope we can get a result Saturday. You are.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.